You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, How to Turn Your Independent Film into a Money-Making Business by Alex Ferrari. For a free copy of the audiobook, head over to www.filmbizbook.com.
Welcome to the Director Series Podcast, a show dedicated to deconstructing the work of some of cinema's most celebrated and influential film directors. I'm your host, Cameron Bile.
The mythic posturing that formed the thematic bedrock of Badlands and Days of Heaven remains throughout both The Thin Red Line and The New World, but it's immediately evident that Malick no longer considers himself beholden to entrenched cinematic conventions, like self-contained units of story with a beginning, middle, and end. Instead, we are treated to suggestive, fleeting moments that harken back to the ideological purity of Sergei Eisenstein's pioneering theories on Soviet montage, whereby it's in the manner in which shots are strung together, rather than the images themselves, that gives a scene meaning. It's easy for conventionally minded critics to dismiss this approach as superficial or pretentious, made empty by the absence of action or plot progression. But such takes tend to betray a lack of attention or understanding at best, or a willing closed-mindedness at worst. Indeed, how one feels about Malick's work as a whole often depends on how one feels about cinema as a whole, on a base level, whether it functions as art or commerce. The Thin Red Line and The New World posit that cinema can be both, leveraging their Hollywood-sized budget and historical epic frameworks to convey intimate, abstract ideas about man's place in the natural cycle of life, death, and rebirth. The creation that surrounds the film's narratives, lush backdrops, colorful wildlife, the eloquent cadence of the character's innermost consciousness and self-awareness, is all-encompassing. No individual part is more important than the other. Man, and the natural environment that surrounds him, is simply part of one larger and interconnected cosmic soul. Malick's evocative cutaways illustrate this conceit, painting a larger portrait of the devastation that warfare and imperialism brings to this soul, with no more complex an image as a wounded bird trying to stand on its feet in the trampled brush, or a woman standing in a scarred clearing piled high with felled trees. As mentioned before, The Thin Red Line was made and released at the same time as Saving Private Ryan. The two works, even to this day, are locked into something of an eternal competition, their shared subject matter inviting constant comparisons that seek to identify the quote-unquote better film. Such debates tend to miss the point, as their differences extend far beyond which theater of the war their respective stories take place in. Saving Private Ryan is a film about the horrors of war and the extraordinary courage of the men who fight it, whereas The Thin Red Line uses the prism of war as a psychological device, enabling an intense meditation on the damage that armed combat does to a man's soul, while simultaneously expressing the conflicting idea that war is simply part of the natural order of civilization, not unlike a cleansing wildfire making room for an ecosphere to begin anew. This naturally calls for an abstract, introspective approach that stands in stark contrast to Saving Private Ryan's visceral grit and chaotic handheld photography. Indeed, Malick's depiction of the Japanese forces, the so-called enemy, is just as compelling and humanely oriented as his treatment of the Americans. At first, they aren't seen at all, belching out a fusillade of bullets from their vantage point high up on the hill. They are, in effect, an unseen force, lethal in nature. As we push forward with the American perspective, we get closer and closer to the Japanese. Shapes turn to silhouettes, then to recognizable human features. What was once a seemingly supernatural, unstoppable force is revealed to be fallible, fragile, terrified. In other words, human. The same strain of soulful, somewhat agnostic spirituality that marked Badlands and Days of Heaven brings an added resonance to The Thin Red Line and The New World's respective sense of natural interconnectedness. With The Thin Red Line, Malick blends core ideas from the spiritual traditions of both Eastern and Western faith systems, invoking a higher power through the primordial paradise of Guadalcanal and the gentle breeze constantly blowing through its dense foliage, or via images of American and Japanese soldiers alike fervently praying to their creators as they prepare for combat or lay dying on the battlefield. Similarly, The New World uses spirituality to illustrate not just the differences of each side, but their similarities as well. There's the earthiness of the Algonquian belief system, finding an all-encompassing divinity in the world around them, and the celestial loftiness of the English's Christian faith. Shots of characters enraptured by the sun-dappled radiance of the natural world are framed similarly to shots of towering cathedrals and stained glass windows, suggesting the common spiritual thread between the two factions, a universal language that allows John Smith and Pocahontas to communicate with each other, despite the worlds of difference between them. Like Balan's prior, Malick draws from the biblical story of the Garden of Eden as a cultural waypoint, giving his audience familiar ground to anchor themselves to as he plunges headlong into deep explorations of abstract ideas, like the clash between agrarian and industrial societies, the loss of our collective innocence via the prism of suffering and death, the careless plundering and wanton destruction of our natural environment, and even original sin. Civilization's natural proclivity towards conquest and the claiming of territory, as implied by Malick's approach here, quite literally invites a tangible hell on earth, ransacking the Garden of Eden that has been made for us, exiling us to an emotional wilderness. This loss of innocence results in an elegiac tone that courses throughout both films, with Malick mourning the ultimate incompatibility between agrarian and industrial societies, their principles and values eternally at odds with one another. Innocence against corruption, purity against filth, raw exploitation against sustainable ecosystems. The thin red line in the New World's crystallization of Malick's key artistic themes make for an electrifying, profoundly resonant watching experience. They challenge us to watch actively instead of passively, all while preparing us for his subsequent expeditions into ever more abstract territory. 4 features and 30 years into his celebrated career, Malick had finally hit his stride, finding artistic reinvigoration through his development of a convention-shattering aesthetic and applying it to 2 sweeping historical epics in order to uncover the underlying humanity that drives them. If Badlands and Days of Heaven found Malick experimenting with the kind of director he wished to be, then The Thin Red Line and The New World illustrate a filmmaker discovering exactly who he is. Indeed, the process of making these films had unlocked something fierce and urgent inside of Malick, kickstarting an accelerated creative momentum that would thrust him headlong into his most prolific and radical phase yet. Thank you for listening to the Director Series. For a deeper dive into your favorite filmmakers, go to www.directorseries.net. The Director Series is made possible in large part by our generous supporters on Patreon. Please visit us at patreon.com/directorseries to see how your contribution enables the continued production of video essays and text articles on your favorite contemporary and classic film directors. Thank you.